Have I committed the unforgivable sin? If you're asking that question, chances are you haven't. Many Christians live in fear of this possibility, but don't know what this sin even is. So let's go straight to the source and see what the Word of God has to say about this. Now, this topic has struck fear in the hearts of many over the years and has caused even some believers to question their salvation. And that comes from ignorance on the subject and not really understanding what this is all about. And what I want to help you with today is to understand exactly what this sin is, who can commit it, and if you actually have committed this sin, and put to rest the fear in many believers' hearts about this. You have to understand that this sin can't be committed on accident. And you're going to find out as we progress that you cannot commit this sin accidentally. And one of the biggest things I see among believers, and this was me at one point when I was younger, as a young believer, as a young person in general, I used to agonize over the fear of this all the time. There's an unpardonable sin. Have I committed it? Have I been barred from salvation for all eternity? You have to understand that this sin can't be committed by accident, as we're getting ready to read. You can't accidentally commit this sin. It is a very, how should I say this? It's a very unignorant thing to do. You can't do this thing ignorant. You know exactly what you're doing when you commit this sin, and you do it with malicious intent. So, off the bat, if you come on this video and you fear that I've committed this sin, I blaspheme the Holy Spirit, I can never be saved, let me tell you something. If you're fearing that and you're scared of that possibility, chances are you have not committed that sin yet. Don't let the enemy dupe you into believing that you are barred from salvation if you care about your soul state. If you care about the state of your heart, if you care about if you're righteous before the Lord, don't let the enemy dupe you into thinking that you can't be saved, you've gone too far, God can't rescue you, you've sinned too much. Understand something. Sin can be forgiven when you repent of it. Doesn't matter how bad your past was. It doesn't matter how much sin you've committed. Even the worst of sinners, Jesus can forgive. You are not too far away. You have not gone too far that God can't reach you. Understand that. If you're in fear, if you're scared, if you think you've gone too far, let me help you with something. You have not gone too far. Because any person who gets onto the territory of committing this sin is not interested in their salvation, as I'm getting ready to talk about. They're not interested in whether or not they're right with God. They could care less about Jesus. They could care less about salvation. They can care less about the Holy Spirit. So if you're scared, if you're in fear, I have good news for you off the bat today. Don't fear. Don't be in fear. You can be saved. If you're already saved, you've given your heart to the Lord and you've repented of your sins, don't give in to the fear. And if you're not saved yet, you can repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ as Savior, and you will be saved. Don't give in to the fear. So let's go into the Bible and let's read about this sin. This sin is found in Matthew 12 and Mark chapter 3, I believe. But I'm going to read the Matthew 12 account today. So let's go there, Matthew 12. And let's start at verse 22. And to set this story up a little bit, Jesus just healed somebody on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees, who were crazy to say the least, the Pharisees were not happy about it. And the Bible tells you right before this story that they were trying to plot, and they came together to find a plan and put a plan together to take Jesus out and kill him. So watch what verse 22 says right here. It says, then a demon-possessed man who was blind and could not speak was brought to Jesus. And he healed the man so that he could both speak and see. The crowd was amazed and asked, could it be that Jesus, the son of David, is the Messiah? Or Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah? But, verse 24, when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, who is the prince of demons. Jesus knew their thoughts and replied, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. And if I'm empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too. So they will condemn you for what you have said. But if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Verse 30, anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. Watch this in verse 31. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. A tree, verse 33, is identified by its fruit. If the tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on the day of judgment for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. So watch what happens in this story right here. Jesus comes across a man who is demonized, and he casts the devil out of him. He can't speak, and once he casts the devil out of him, the man is healed. He's set free from the power of the enemy. So everybody that witnesses this miracle and this demonstration of power says, oh my gosh, could Jesus be our promised Messiah? Could he be the one that we have been waiting on? The Pharisees did not like that. And the Pharisees came out and said to themselves, they said, this man ain't that. He ain't no Messiah. The reason why he was able to cast the devil out of this guy was because he did it through demonic power. Now, naturally, that makes absolutely no sense. How could a devil cast out a devil? What sense does that make? You're sitting there and you're like, what in the world? What were these Pharisees smoking that day? What were they on? What type of new crack were they on to make them think that Jesus was able to cast out a devil by demonic power? It makes no sense. And that's why Jesus goes into this whole warning and he says a kingdom that is divided will not be able to stand. Civil war will take down a nation. A family that's divided and isn't in unity, it will crumble. So, and by that same logic, the enemy cannot cast out the enemy because his kingdom is now divided and is getting ready to fall. So you tell me that I'm casting out Satan by the power of Satan, that makes no sense. And your exorcists do the same thing. Watch that. Your exorcists do the same exact thing. So what do you have to say to them? And he caught the Pharisees. And he tells them, he says, listen here. He says, any kind of blasphemy will be forgiven, except for blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, then we have problems. And if you blaspheme him, you can't be forgiven, not in this world, nor in the world to come. So let's understand something right here. What is the unforgivable sin? If you're taking notes, write this down. This will help you. It is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And what does the word blaspheme mean? One of the meanings is to slander, to talk against. That's what one of the meanings of this word is, to slander or to talk against offensively. So understand first and foremost that this sin is committed through words. That's what Jesus says in verse 32. Anybody who speaks against the Holy Spirit, anybody who blasphemes him, will not be forgiven in this life. So this sin is committed through words, number one, and his words, not just randomly, but they're words spoken against the Holy Spirit. And what were the content of those words spoken against the Holy Spirit? They attributed his work to Satan. That's what Jesus says in verse 24. So, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is when you speak against the Holy Spirit, not only speak against him, but attribute his works to Satan. And it's done in a very malicious way. It's not done ignorantly, and I'm going to get into that. It's not done ignorantly, but it's done very maliciously. And Jesus says that that sin can never be forgiven. Now understand something right here. The Holy Spirit is a person. We're talking about the Holy Spirit throughout this series, right? The Holy Spirit is a person. And the Bible tells you in Ephesians 4 verse 30, I believe around there, that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Understand that. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. And what does the word grieve mean in the Greek, in the original language? One of the definitions of that word means to injure, to distress, or give pain to. Understand that. So, Paul tells you in this chapter that the Holy Spirit can be grieved through unholy behavior. The Holy Spirit can be injured, grieved, put into distress through unholy behavior and unholy actions. So we have to understand that we cannot just treat the Holy Spirit any old way. We can't just treat him flippantly. We have to watch how we treat the Holy Spirit. We have to watch how we talk about the Holy Spirit. We have to watch how we speak about him and his works and his ministry. We can't come to him and talk about him and treat him flippantly. We have to be very sensitive when it comes to the things of the Spirit. Watch how we talk. Watch how we act. Watch how we conduct ourselves in his presence. Don't treat the Holy Spirit flippantly. Don't treat the Holy Spirit as something that's just, you don't have any reverence when you come around him. This is why we have to make sure that we understand how he works. Because when he starts moving, we would do good to not get up and call his works wrong. And that ain't of God. And that's demonic. And that ain't right. I don't think that's the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't speak against him. Understand how he works and cooperate with him when he works. Don't get into a position where, we don't need that. When he starts moving, we don't want you, get out of here. Treat him rightly. Understand that. So this sin is committed through words, and his words spoken against the Holy Spirit, and those words consist of attributing his works to Satan. Those are the content of those words that you speak against him. Now, that should help you, because many people have gotten into fear and misinterpreted what this sin even is, and they start to say the unforgivable sin is all these other sins that you can be forgiven of. That's not the case. What is this sin not? I told you what this sin is, but what is this sin not? And here's a big thing right here. Merely rejecting the Holy Spirit or salvation is not the unforgivable sin. And understand this, because I've heard people over the years say that the unforgivable sin and blaspheming the Holy Spirit is when you reject it. When you reject salvation and you push him away and you don't receive him when he comes to convict you of your sin. That's not the unforgivable sin, because there have been many people who have lived the life of sin, and when they felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit at one time, they felt the Holy Spirit pulling them to make a decision for Christ, convicting them of their sins, and the Father drawing them to Christ. They felt that, but they've been like, you know, not right now. No, I don't want this. I still want to live my life. And they've continued to live their life running away from that. Now, they've done it for a while, and it gets to a point for many people that they finally give in because they realize that they're living a sinful life. The life they're living ain't good, and the Holy Spirit is drawing them to a better life, and they give in, and thank God they got saved. They rejected the Holy Spirit at one point. They didn't receive him. They didn't accept the call to salvation when it came to them at that point in time. But thank God the Holy Spirit doesn't just give up after try one. The Holy Spirit will continue to draw people. He will continue to convict people. And he won't just give up the first time you deny it. He won't just give up the first time you say, maybe, you know, I just want to continue my life and continue my sinful life a little bit longer. Thank God he will be persistent. And many people, the Holy Spirit was persistent at convicting them and showing them the way of salvation and drawing them onto the path of righteousness until they received it. They didn't just give up. He didn't just give up after one try. Thank God. So just rejecting salvation is not blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Because understand, you didn't speak against him. You didn't attribute his works to Satan. You didn't do any of that. So, and I'm not saying that to say that people should continue their sinful life because, you know, the Holy Spirit will continue after you for a while. No, because you need to accept the call to salvation today. Don't put it off. I'm not encouraging people to continue to run from the Lord. Understand that if God is calling you to salvation today, today's the day, because you don't know how much longer you have left. You don't know how much longer you have left. Tomorrow is not promised. It is not promised to any man. So accept Jesus Christ today. Accept salvation today. Begin your new life in Jesus Christ today. But I'm telling you this because many people have thought that I've ran away from the Lord for years. I've heard somebody say this before, and I dealt with this in my ministry too. I remember when I first started my ministry, I had a lot of people asking me questions about this sin, and they were so fearful about it. And they're like, I don't want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be barred from salvation for the rest of my life. Have I committed this sin? Because, you know, I lived a sinful life and I didn't get saved the first moment I felt drawn to Jesus Christ. So did I commit this sin? And I have to say no, because you didn't do that because you just rejected salvation. And many people get in fear of that. And that is not what this sin is about. That is not what this sin is about. So people who are saved, they are in the kingdom of God. They get over into fear and they're like, you know, have I committed this sin? Am I actually saved? Am I truly saved? Did I lose my salvation? That's the enemy coming in trying to confuse you. That is the enemy coming in trying to get you to doubt whether or not you've been saved. But the Bible tells you that the Holy Spirit in Romans 8 verse 16 bears witness with your spirit that you are the sons and daughters of God. If you're saved, if you're truly saved, you can look to the greater one that's on the inside of you. You can look to the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you. And you can know inside of yourself that you are saved. You know in your spirit, not in your mind, but in your spirit that is saved and has a bend towards the things of God. You can know inside of your spirit that I am saved, I am washed clean, and the enemy can come against my mind all he wants, but I know I've been saved. I know that I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I know that all my sins are washed away and I'm right with God. Understand that. So this sin is not just merely rejecting salvation. It's not merely just rejecting the call to salvation when it came to you the first time. I used to be in fear of that when I was younger, but it was out of ignorance. And I want to help people who are in that same position today. Don't be in fear about that. Understand that. Do not be in fear about that, because there have been many people who have ran for a while and then got tired of running or finally realized that there's no use of running anymore. And they give in and they get saved. They get saved and they give their hearts to the Lord. That's number one. That's what this sin is not. Number two, this sin is also not ignorantly speaking against God or the Holy Spirit. Because there have also been people who may have been former atheists or just completely unsaved heathens that did not like God, did not like the things of God. And they said, that Christian stuff is false. And even people who are Christian, that Holy Spirit stuff is false. You know, all them churches that do that falling out stuff, that ain't real. That speaking in tongues stuff is fake. You see that guy's ministry over there? He been having people fall on the floor and holy rollers and all that stuff. That ain't real. Some lady ran around the church. That ain't the Holy Spirit. I don't know what's wrong with those crazy Pentecostals. Understand something. Ignorantly, that's the word right there. Ignorantly speaking against the Holy Spirit or the things of God and the things pertaining to his ministry is not committing this sin either. So former atheists who thought God wasn't real, thought this Christian thing was a farce, and then ended up getting saved, you have not committed this sin. Because you did it in ignorance. You didn't know who God was. You didn't know that God was real. But then you had an encounter with his power. You had an encounter that showed you, oh my gosh, that this God is actually real. What I've thought, what I've learned is actually not the case. But I know for myself, not just based off of what somebody told me, but I know for myself. And I had a personal encounter with him that shows me that he is actually real. And his power is still in operation today. So if you've done that ignorantly, or let's say you came from a denomination that did not believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that didn't believe in the workings of the Holy Spirit, and then you had a personal encounter with the power of the Holy Ghost, and you realize, oh wait, his power is actually real. These things that I did not agree with is actually in operation today. Understand something. You did not commit the unforgivable sin by doing that, because it was done in ignorance. God is not stupid. God is not stupid. You did it in ignorance. God forgives you of that. When you come to him, you didn't know any better. You didn't have an encounter with his power. You didn't do it maliciously. You did it out of ignorance. Your mind was darkened. You weren't enlightened to the things of God. So, of course, when you come to Christ and you realize that he's real and you give your heart to him, he's not going to be like, you spoke against me back in 1972 when you was an atheist and didn't grow up around anybody who is a Christian. You didn't know. So he doesn't hold that against you. He forgives you for that. So don't be in fear about that. If you've done that and you did it in ignorance before and you're now saved, and you love the Lord with all your heart, and you're living under a fear that, oh my gosh, I did that back in 1972, and what if I'm actually not saved today? Let that fear be broken off of your life today. Let that attack against your mind be broken today, and be free from that, and understand that when you repented of your sins, you were forgiven, and you began a new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. So ignorantly speaking against it is not this sin. What I said was maliciously doing it was where you're getting into shaky territory. If you're speaking against the works of the Holy Spirit maliciously, and watch this, there are going to be layers built on this. If you're doing this maliciously, then we're having a problem. You know that the Holy Spirit is real. You know about his ministry. You know about his works, but you maliciously decide to injure him. You maliciously decide to attribute his works to Satan. That's where we're having problems. So you don't have the excuse of ignorance when you commit this sin. You did that with a clear mind. You did that with a sober mind. You've had encounters with his power. You've seen his power in operation, and you understand who he is and what he does. If you still speak against the Holy Spirit, if you still attribute his works to Satan, that's where we have problems. And understand this. This is where the Pharisees had a problem. And this is why Jesus warned them about this sin when they did that. Because they were ignorant. The Pharisees were not ignorant of the power of God. They were not ignorant of the miracles that Jesus performed. They did not have the excuse of ignorance. That's why Jesus warned them. He said, listen here. They got up and they said, this guy did that because he's empowered by the devil. And Jesus stood up and said, He said, He said, you did that. You spoke against the Holy Spirit. That empowered me to perform that miracle. That empowered me to cast the devil out of this man. You're on shaky ground now. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit at that point. Now, somebody's probably asking, okay, but why would anybody, you tell me that this sin is committed, can't be committed ignorantly, it can't be committed accidentally, it is committed with a clear conscience, with a sober mind, you knowing exactly what you are doing, why would anybody in their right mind commit this sin? It doesn't make any sense, but let me help you with something. Nobody wakes up randomly one day and says, I'm going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit and stop myself from ever having a chance to make it into heaven. Nobody stands up and says that. So understand this. So somebody's like, okay, so then you contradicted yourself because you just said you can't do it ignorantly, but then you're saying nobody wakes up with the intent to stop themselves from making it to heaven and deciding that they want to burn in hell for all eternity. No, understand something. Jesus told you what pushed the Pharisees to say that. What pushed the Pharisees to step on that shaky ground? Go back to Matthew 12. And he tells you in verse 33 to 37 what the driving force behind their sin was. And I'm not going to read it again, but he tells you in verse 34 that for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. And he says a tree is identified with by their fruit. A person speaks good words out of a good heart, but a person speaks evil words out of an evil heart. And he says the problem with you Pharisees is that you can't speak good because your heart is evil. Watch this. He says you cannot speak good because your heart is jacked up. Your heart is full of evil. So there's no way for you to speak what is right. So watch that. The driving force behind them committing this sin was not ignorance. The driving force behind that sin was a bad heart. It was an evil heart. And it got to the point where their heart was so twisted and so messed up and so turned against God, even though they thought they were right, that they began to see Jesus and the Holy Spirit as evil. Watch that. Their heart was so jacked up that they saw God as an evil person. They saw Jesus Christ as evil. They saw the Holy Spirit as evil. They saw his mission, everything he was doing as evil. And that's why they tried their hardest to stamp him out. That's why they tried their hardest to kill him. Because understand, if there was something that was coming against you and coming against your family, let's say there was an intruder that broke into your house. Somebody came into your house and was trying to kill your entire family. You as a person, you got kids, you would try your hardest to stamp out that threat because it's evil. It's coming against you. It's coming against your family. It's coming against the people that you're in authority over. You would try your hardest to stamp it out, right? But the problem was the Pharisees were doing the same thing. Because they saw Jesus as evil. They saw the Holy Spirit as evil. And they tried their hardest to stamp him out and kill him because they were trying to get rid of the threat. But we know that Jesus wasn't evil. We know that the Holy Spirit wasn't evil. But why did the Pharisees see it that way? Because their heart, as Jesus said, was jacked up. Their heart was messed up. And at that point, watch this, watch this. When you get to that point where you start to see God as evil and you start to see the works of the Holy Spirit as genuinely evil, your heart has become so twisted, your mind has become so perverted that there is no more hope for you to even be saved, because anytime the Holy Spirit, who convicts you of your sins, anytime the Father who would draw you to Jesus Christ comes, you'll reject him because I don't want anything evil in my life. I don't want that. Just as Christians resist the devil, just as believers rebuke the devil and shun the very appearance of evil because it has no benefit to them. That's what people who have gotten to this state due to Jesus Christ. That's what they do to the Holy Spirit. And at that point, they can't be saved because they will continue to reject the person that will draw them to salvation. And at that point, the Holy Spirit can't force you to be saved anymore. There's no more hope for you. There's no more hope at that point because you're so far gone. So with that said, if your heart has gotten to that state, if your mind has gotten to that state, if you've become such a reprobate and become beyond salvation, you will not have a desire to be saved. You will not fear whether or not you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You will not be scared of displeasing God. You won't have a desire to please the Lord because he's evil. Who cares what he thinks? Do you think believers care whether or not they offended the devil? Do you think believers care whether or not they hurt the devil's feelings? And, you know, I'm going to go to his house today with a cup of tea and some cookies. You know, I just don't want to offend him. You know, I don't want to let my actions be a stumbling block to him. We don't give a care how we may have offended the devil. We don't care. That's exactly how people who are in this state of mind, that's the same attitude they have towards God. I don't care about salvation. I don't care who God is. He's evil. I don't care who this Holy Spirit character is. Who cares about him? Well, that is the point that people who committed this sin or are getting ready to commit this sin have gotten to. So I have good news for you today. If you care about the state of your soul, if you care about whether or not you're ready to meet the Lord, if you care and are even scared that you may have hurt the Holy Spirit or offended him in some way, you have not committed this sin. You are not beyond hope for salvation. You are not a reprobate because you don't see the Holy Spirit as an evil person. You don't see the Holy Spirit as the enemy. You don't see the Holy Spirit as a devil, a genuine demon. You don't see the Holy Spirit that way. You know who he is and you know that his ministry works to profit. His ministry works to bring benefit. So you're not beyond hope. So let the fear leave you today. And understand this. I'm talking to people who are genuinely in fear. I'm talking to Christians too who are genuinely in fear. But I don't say all that to take away from the reality of this. I don't say this to take away from the sobering warning and the fear of God that it may invoke. Understand that. I'm not taking away from the harshness of this thing to say, oh, you know, just don't care. You know, just live however you want. It's okay. No, people who are speaking against the Holy Spirit, people who don't believe in tongues, who don't believe in falling out, who don't believe in manifestations of the Holy Spirit, watch your mouth. People who set up whole conferences against speaking in tongues and against manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And all they do is just badmouth Pentecostal preachers. Watch your mouth. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you came from. Watch your mouth. You are on shaky territory. And if you continue down this path, you could get to a point where your mind could twist. Your mind could twist and you see the Holy Spirit as evil. And you're far gone at that point. So if you're speaking against the Holy Spirit and you continuously do it, people will make YouTube channels to just make commentaries about Pentecostals and Pentecostal practices and call out Pentecostal practices that are actually rooted in Scripture. Watch your mouth. Stop speaking against the Holy Spirit. Stop speaking against his manifestations. If you don't understand, then just say that. If you don't understand, say that, be quiet, and sit down and preach the gospel and sit in your corner. But don't make it your life's goal to come against the Holy Spirit because you're on shaky territory. You're on shaky territory. People that make it their life's goal to talk against these things, you are on shaky territory. But if you're a person who genuinely wants to please God, if you're a person who genuinely wants their heart to be right with God, if you're a person who does not want to offend him, then you have not committed this sin. And that is the enemy using fear to keep you and make you back off from the things of God. Don't give in to that. Don't give in to that today. Don't give in to that. If there's sin in your life, get rid of it. But if you're saved and you're living holy before the Lord, don't agonize about the fear of, you know, I may have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. That's not the case. If you're even agonizing about that, chances are you have not committed that sin. Because as Jesus said, this sin is committed, number one, through words spoken against the Holy Spirit, and you attribute his works to Satan. And the driving force behind it is an evil heart. An evil heart. Your insides have become so perverted. You can't speak good about God. You can't speak good. Evil comes out of your mouth because your insides are bad. And you begin to see evil as good and good as evil. It's a very specific type of person. And now that brings into context and helps you to understand a little bit more why the Pharisees acted the way they did. Because some Christians are like, what was wrong with them? They came against Jesus and Jesus was just trying to preach the gospel and get people saved and bring people into the kingdom of God and heal people and benefit them. Why did the Pharisees see him as such a threat? Now, naturally, there are reasons, but it begins to bring into context why they did what they did, because they saw him as evil. They saw the Holy Spirit as evil and their hearts were so turned against the things of God. It was so turned against the things of God that they were getting to a point, or maybe were at that point in this chapter, that they were beyond hope for salvation. Because they would just, out of that, out of their words spoken, out of their evil heart, they would continue to reject him and push him away. Understand that. So, if you fear, you haven't committed that sin. If you genuinely want to please the Lord, you have not committed that sin. If you don't see the Holy Spirit as genuinely evil, you have not committed that sin, because anybody who's at that point couldn't care less about the Holy Spirit. They don't care about his feelings. They don't care if they've hurt him or pushed him away. They don't care about salvation because they see it as evil and something that they don't need. But thank God that ain't you today. And that is good news, because that means if you've committed any sins, you can be forgiven. You may have committed what you think is the worst sins in the world, but thank God you can be forgiven today. Praise God. And I want to give that invitation to you today, that if that's you and you come on this video and you know your heart is not right with God and you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, even now where you are, because I believe that's happening to people who are watching. If that's you, don't push the Holy Spirit away. Don't think that you're too far. Receive his help today and receive Jesus Christ as Savior today and give your heart to him, and you will see the benefits begin to come into your life from this day forward. You can start a new life in Christ Jesus, wipe the slate clean, and everything can go up for you from this day forward. Everything can work for your benefit from this day forward, and you can see the good hand of the Lord manifest in your life from this day forward. Amen. So if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer after me right now. I want you to say sincerely from your heart, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to sacrifice his life for my sin. I believe that he died and was raised back to life for me. So I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And now I receive the power to live holy until you return. I am no longer a sinner, but now I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you just prayed with me and responded to God's call for salvation, I want you to now take the next step. I want to help you to begin to walk on this path of righteousness. Many people get to the point where they feel like, okay, I just got saved, but what do I do next? I want to help you with that. There's a link in the description that will take you to a page on my website, and I want you to fill out the form there. And when you fill out that form, I'll send you some resources that will help you begin to walk on this path of righteousness and begin your walk with Christ. You don't have to walk this path alone. You have the help of the Holy Spirit, and now you also have my help. So I want to send you resources, I want to pray for you, and I want to help you to become a strong believer. So go ahead and click the link now.
God has made a way for his children to be totally liberated from the power of sin. But many Christians don't understand this. In Marlon Benjamin's book, Undefiled, He teaches that Christ put an end to sin's control and gave us the ability to resist all its temptations when they come. Order your copy now on Amazon or MarlonBenjamin.net.
What's up, everybody? It's Marlon Benjamin, and I want to challenge you to consider becoming a partner with this ministry today. You know, our partners commit to praying for us continuously, and they connect their finances to this ministry on a monthly basis. You know, God has allowed us to preach some powerful services over this past year, and we have seen God demonstrate His power in mighty ways, and we have seen people get saved and come into the kingdom of God. We've also been able to expand the reach of the gospel through YouTube, the podcast, and I'm Saved, Now What?, which helps us connect to those who are being saved through our online ministry and get them on the path of righteousness and help them begin their walk with Christ. Last year, we just connected ourselves and became partners with Lester Sumrall's Feed the Hungry, and we are providing meals to those who are in need on a monthly basis. So I want you to consider, prayerfully consider, becoming a partner of this ministry today. You can click the link in the description or go to MarlonBenjamin.net, hit the Give Now page, and go to the partnership page, and you can see what we're doing and become a partner today. Thank you so much, and God bless you.